Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Excuse me, that's actually chapter 19. Over the past few weeks in this series of sermons on the Stations of the Cross, we've been considering the way of the cross in detail. Last Friday, Father Peter spoke to you about the 9th and 10th stations, the third fall of our Lord under the cross, and the stripping of his garments on Mount Calvary. Tonight, we will continue with the 11th and 12th stations, the crucifixion and death of our Lord. After the soldiers had brutally stripped our Lord of his garments, they led him to the cross. Our divine Savior willingly stretched himself out upon the wood of the cross and stretched out his trembling hands towards the holes prepared for them. It was then that the executioners began the work of crucifixion. St. Bernard says that they did not use sharp nails, but rather blunt ones, to increase the pain of their victim. Using the writings of historians and witnesses to a Roman crucifixion, a certain priest describes the scene this way. One of the executioners, he wrote, knelt on our Lord's chest, while another seized his right hand, dragged it to the hole in the arm of the cross, and tied the hand down with a cord. Another, taking a nail, placed it on the palm of the hand near the wrist, and with a heavy iron hammer, he drove the nail down through the flesh and bones into the wood until the head of the nail pressed against the palm. The soldiers then took the other hand, but they found that they had made a mistake in boring the hole in the wood of the cross. And so they tied cords to the hand, and bracing their feet against the body of the cross, they pulled and they stretched the arm until it came to the hole prepared for it. Kneeling on his wrist, a soldier drove home the nail, this author writes, and our Lord's arms were nearly disjointed by the violent strain. Next came the nail through the feet of our Lord, which was driven through them with the same brutality as the first two. As the executioners finished their work, shouts of savage approval rang throughout the mob. The soldiers then attached ropes to the cross, and raising it into the air, they dropped its base into the hole prepared for it. As the cross jolted into position, our Lord was nearly ripped from it, and consequently, his blood began flowing all the more abundantly. It was then that the sorrowful mother, together with her own sister, Mary of Cleophas, St. John the Evangelist, and St. Mary Magdalene, drew nearer to the cross. 3 hours of intense suffering followed. In her revelations to St. Bridget, Our Lady described the appearance of Christ on the cross. This is what Our Lady said. My dear Jesus was breathless, exhausted and in his last agony on the cross. His eyes were sunk, half closed and lifeless, his lips hanging and his mouth opened. His cheeks hollow and drawn in, and his countenance sad. His hair was black with blood, and his entire body covered with wounds. In his Gospel, St. John does not even attempt to describe the grief that he witnessed standing at the foot of the cross. That's how heartbreaking it was. But although he deferred from describing this grief-filled scene, he nevertheless summed it up in one sentence. A sentence that is easily one of the most sorrowful written in the New Testament. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus," he wrote, "his mother." "I did not leave him," Our Lady revealed to St. Bridget, "but I stood nearer to the cross. I stood very near his cross," she said. "And just like that which is closest to the heart stings the most, so his pain was heavier and worse for me than for others. When he looked at me from the cross, and I saw him, then tears flowed from my eyes like blood from veins." As 3 o'clock drew near, our Lord's breathing became more labored. The breaths became more and more shallow, and the Sacred Heart began to beat more feebly. It was with his last breath that our Lord raised his head and his eyes to heaven, and he said in a clear but gentle voice, "It is consummated. The work of the redemption is finished." And then with a loud voice he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And saying this, our divine Redeemer bowed his head and he died. St. Alphonsus Liguori tells us that soon afterwards, some soldiers approached to break the legs of our Lord. You see, the Jews wanted the bodies of the crucified men down from the crosses before the beginning of the Sabbath. And this could not be done unless they were dead. And so to ensure that the criminals would soon die if they were not dead already, the soldiers had orders to break their legs. And this would speed up their deaths because the crucified would not be able to hold themselves up to breathe. St. Alphonsus relates that Our Lady was still weeping over the death of Jesus when she saw these soldiers, armed with iron bars, approach the cross. St. Bonaventure tells us that Our Lady implored them not to break her divine son's legs, that he had already suffered enough, that he was already dead. But as she spoke, she saw one of the soldiers pick up a lance, approach the lifeless body of her divine son, and drive it right into our Lord's side. At the stroke of the spear, St. Alphonsus says, the whole cross shook, and there came out from our Lord's side blood and water. Our Lady later revealed to St. Bridget what she saw at that moment. She said, when everyone was going away, a man came and thrust his spear into Jesus' side so forcefully that it almost went out the other side. When the spear was pulled out, she said, its point was red with blood. And it seemed to me at that moment, when I saw my beloved son's heart pierced, that my own heart was also pierced. This, my dear friends, was not only the price of original sin. This was the price of our sins. This was the price that our Lord paid to win man's love. And he thought it would be enough. He thought it would be enough to win our love by dying so painful and so horrific a death to redeem us. But sadly, it was not. And he lamented this. In the latter 17th century, our divine Savior came to France, and he said to St. Margaret Mary, "In return for all I have done for mankind, in return for all the love I have showed them, I receive from the greater part only ingratitude. By their irreverence and sacrilege, and by the coldness and contempt they have for me." It's as though our Lord were saying, I suffered so much for love of men to save them, but they do not care. I was scourged for them, but they do not care. I had my head punctured with thorns for them, but they do not care. I permitted my sacred heart to be pierced for them, but they do not care. I died on a cross for them, but still they do not care. If men made me a return, our Lord said, all that I have done for them would appear as nothing. But they entertain only coldness towards me, and the only return they make is by rejecting me. Do you at least, our divine Savior then asked St. Margaret Mary, do you at least give me the consolation of supplying for their ingratitude as far as you are able? And as he asked her, so he asks us, do you at least give me the consolation of supplying for the ingratitude of men? Will you at least love me? Will you at least care? Let us, my dear friends, not let our Lord's plea go unanswered. Let us show him we love him. Let's show him we care. And let's do this by striving not only to avoid all willful and deliberate sin, mortal and venial, but also by striving to make reparation, by striving to repair the harm done to the Sacred Heart. We can do this with our daily sacrifices, our communions of reparation on the first Friday of each month, and by spending time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, especially each Friday during the all-night adoration. God so loved the world, my dear friends, as to give his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son so loved the world as to be wounded for our iniquities and bruised for our sins. May we so love him that we show by our actions the words that we will soon say as we make the way of the cross. I love thee, Jesus, my love, with my whole heart. I repent of ever having offended thee. Never permit me to offend thee again. Grant that I may love thee always, and then do with me what thou wilt. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.